Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, week 11, here we are in the NFL. Packers-Ravens, Sunday, noon Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field. One of these uncommon opponents, an AFC foe. The Packers only face these teams once every 4 years. When you look at this Baltimore Ravens offense, we'll break down the Ravens a little on both sides of the ball today. It obviously starts with your Super Bowl winning quarterback, Joe Flacco. But when I look at things statistically, what jumps off the page at me is this running back, Alex Collins, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, kind of getting a second shot at his career here with the Baltimore Ravens. He's averaging like 5.5 yards a carry. This is a running back who could do some damage.
Yeah, also formerly from my fantasy football team.
Uh-oh.
I ended up making the mistake of cutting him and keeping Javarius Allen. That being said, a very dynamic player. I think you saw last year when he was with Seattle, they kind of had that little bit of a logjam at running back, a lot of different guys in there. He was kind of the odd man out. He ends up landing in with the Ravens. Terrence West doesn't really work out, you know, and then you also had Danny Woodhead getting injured. So, lo and behold, he kind of becomes the middle-of-the-field type running back for them. Does not have a rushing touchdown yet this season. That has mostly been going towards Allen in terms of what they do inside the red zone. But very dynamic and another type of running back that the Packers are going to have to be obviously cognizant of in this game.
Yeah. What's your take, Wes, on just what to make of this Ravens team here in 2017? Because I mentioned Joe Flacco obviously is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. But since winning that Super Bowl 5 years ago, the Ravens have only been back to the playoffs one time. You look at where they are this season, they are 4-5.
Right.
They have a 40-0 victory. They have a 44-7 loss. It seems like it's a you never know what Ravens team you're going to get kind of season for them. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
It's been incredibly up and down for them this year, and they have to obviously find a way around that because otherwise up and down seasons ultimately lead to 7-9, 8-8 type campaigns. The one common tie is Joe Flacco. This team goes as Flacco goes. He has 10 interceptions in 9 games so far this season. That's way too much if you're the Ravens. When his interception numbers are up, that changes how the defense is able to play, and it obviously takes away the momentum of the offense. A different type of group this year, you know, you've seen some transition with how this offense is structured over the past few seasons, the changes in the backfield, obviously the changes at receiver. Flacco has to be that guy for them.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at some of these games, you mentioned the blowouts that have gone each way, it, for the most part, ties in directly with the way that Joe Flacco's performing.
Yeah, you mentioned he's got the 10 interceptions. His passer rating due to those interceptions is in the low 70s for the season so far through 9 games. Another stat I noticed that was interesting is that Flacco has actually fumbled the ball 5 times this year. The Ravens haven't lost any of those fumbles, but his turnover numbers could be up even more because, as we all know, those fumbles and who recovers, sometimes that's just the luck of the bounce, and he's
right.
Put the ball on the ground 5 times.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, those fumbles, that also is a loss of down. It's a loss of yardage. Those are momentum killers, too, even if you do recover the ball ultimately. So
yeah.
Flacco's ability to protect the football, I think, is going to have a lot of say in how this game kind of plays out. If you're the Packers' defense, you have to be looking at those opportunities. If you're Dom Capers and you're drawing this stuff up, you have to look for where he's really putting the ball and exposing it, whether it's in the passing game, whether it is with the offensive line and what they're doing in terms of a pass rush. I'm very interested to see how this game plays out because you really don't know what Baltimore Ravens team you're going to get.
Yeah.
At the same time, I want to mention, too, I mean, Flacco has weapons. I mean, Mike Wallace is there. They have Jeremy Maclin now. I think tight end-wise, Benjamin Watson, Max Williams, a former, I think, first-round pick. Gavin Escobar had some good years there with the Dallas Cowboys as well. There are people that he can really utilize in that offense. It's just been an issue with trying to do it consistently without turning over the football.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I look at the statistics, nobody in the receiving core for the Ravens has any numbers that jump off the page or anything like that. But you mentioned two names, Jeremy Maclin, Mike Wallace. These are guys who are known for their speed. Right. Now, we're not seeing that necessarily translate into a lot of big plays, a lot of big explosive plays. Their yards per catch, you know, rather pedestrian so far this year. But you just wonder if at some point, you know, when these guys have the speed that they have, if it's just a matter of, you know, getting on the same page with Flacco, and there could be some bust out moments here the Packers have to be ready for.
Yeah, a very strange turn of events for the Packers, because they end up facing the league's worst ranked pass offense in back to back weeks. It was Chicago a week ago, and now they're taking on the Ravens, 165.7 passing yards per game. Total offense, they ranked 30th, 10th against the run. So, yeah, when you do have Jeremy Maclin, when you do have, you know, Perryman and some of these weapons that they have, and especially with Joe Flacco, who kind of has a reputation as a gunslinger, you think that you would see those numbers be up there. They haven't been, and obviously for the Packers, when you look at that secondary and how things could shuffle out for them defensively, has to be a big point of emphasis going into this game.
Yeah, like I say, we haven't seen the Baltimore Ravens play the Packers for 4 years. It's, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Joe Flacco, but he's always struck me as a guy who's never afraid to chuck it deep if he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, and he has the arm. I mean, his arm is as live as any in the NFL. So that is ultimately what made him a Super Bowl winning quarterback. It's what made him a very rich quarterback. And you know, for the Baltimore Ravens, it's an arm that gives him a chance every Sunday. So you have to be aware of it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about some of that Ravens defense when we get back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. Wes, shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball for the Baltimore Ravens, what stands out to me when I take a bird's eye view of this defense, 13 interceptions by this pass defense. Brett Hundley's done a pretty good job. I know he threw a couple of interceptions in relief of Aaron Rodgers in the game in Minnesota, but in his three starts, he's only thrown the one interception in the fourth quarter against the New Orleans Saints. That's something that needs to continue. Brett Hundley needs to protect the football against this defense.
Yeah, you know, I made a fantasy football reference in the first segment, so I might as well make another one in the second segment. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens have been probably one of the top team defenses in the NFL this year when it comes to fantasy football because of how many turnovers they've generated.
Yeah.
And it's come from across the board. Obviously, Eric Weddle's been doing it for a number of years, but then even you see a guy like Brandon Carr come in here now in this defense and has three interceptions now in nine games after having so many seasons with the Cowboys and before that with Kansas City. They're getting contributions from throughout that defense. It's one of my favorite in the NFL. There's a lot of things they do well. CJ Mosley is an incredibly exciting inside linebacker. I guess technically it would be a middle linebacker in their form of a defense. He'd be an inside linebacker if he was in Green Bay.
Right.
But that being said, it really, as you said, it comes down to protecting the football. It comes down to being smart. I think it's probably been the most positive sign that really Brett Hundley's had in these last two games is how well he has protected the football. A couple times where he's exposed it here and there, but for the most part, still putting it in a place where only his receiver can get it and starting to take some more chances too. So as you mentioned early on, Mike, you have to be able to build upon that. You have to be able to take that next step up against probably a more difficult defense this week. But I think Brett Hundley's taking those steps to doing that.
Yeah, you mentioned he's maybe starting to take some more chances, but there is a difference between taking a chance and making a dangerous throw.
Right.
And we haven't seen him make dangerous throws. We're not seeing balls that you kind of, you know, take a deep breath and go, oh, thank goodness they didn't pick that off, because he's not making those kinds of throws, which is good for the Packers offense. And you mentioned contributions across the board. I believe I counted five players on this Ravens defense with either two or three interceptions on the season. So 13 in all, they definitely do a good job taking the ball away. Interestingly, though, and this is somewhat uncharacteristic of what you think of, you know, the classic Ravens defense, they're not stopping the run all that well.
They are not.
Teams like the Vikings, the Steelers, the Bears have racked up some pretty big rushing numbers against this Ravens defense. And you wonder with, you know, I know the Packers have some injury issues at running back, but coming off of rushing for 160 yards against a pretty good run defense in the Chicago Bears, you wonder how much the Packers will focus on the run and really force the Ravens to buck up on the run defense, or they could be in for a long day.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see exactly what the week holds with Ty Montgomery. We already know from what Mike McCarthy said earlier this week, that they're not going to have Aaron Jones for multiple weeks with that knee injury. Could mean a lot of Jamal Williams, as you mentioned earlier this week, could mean more of Devontae Mays, depending on what Montgomery's availability is. I love the way the Packers have been really, you know, honed their run blocking so far. I've made my opinion very clear about how I think Justin McCray fits into that and how he can help them at right tackle with the direction that they're heading. And to be honest with you, I don't know much more about this Ravens defense other than what the stats say, but that is the area that stands out to you the most. They've been able to take away the football, but in some of those short yardage situations, in some of those things that really dictate down and distance when it comes to the running game, it's one area where they're falling short.
Yeah, and again, much like their team as a whole, their defense has very much been up and down. I mentioned they have a shutout of the Miami Dolphins. They also gave up 44 points in a game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They gave up 27, I believe it was, including the overtime in losing to the Chicago Bears, an offense that has struggled to put points on the board with any consistency. So again, really hard to say what you're going to find necessarily come Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field with this Ravens defense. But the one thing you cannot do, as we started the segment talking about, you cannot turn the ball over and let them generate the momentum on that side of the ball that comes from takeaways.
Yeah, I mean, that's where everything starts and stops for them. When you look at the number of interceptions, when you look at the sack numbers, they're not through the roof right now, but Terrell Suggs, at 35 years young, is still getting the job done, doesn't he? So, it's just those contributions that they're getting. In some ways, I think there are parallels between what the Packers are doing defensively and where Baltimore is at. I think they have the capabilities to be a shutdown, really dictate the tempo of a football game, but it's trying to find that consistency of it. So that'll be the big matchup in this thing. I think it's going to be great to watch us in the trenches. Mike McCarthy mentioned this past week, one of the things that really impressed him about that win over the Bears was how they dictated and really dominated the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
In the same way, I think the same is going to hold true in this matchup with what the Packers are able to do. Another week, presumably, you're going to have the starting five now without Brian Bulaga. And I think that's ultimately going to help them moving forward now in what they're going to be able to do in terms of generating some of that chemistry.
Yeah, getting some continuity there with the offensive line, even though you are without the starting right tackle, but maybe the same five guys can consistently get on the field. And again, Packers, for the second week in a row, are going to be facing a team coming off of its bye week, so you kind of never know what's going to unfold as far as that goes.
Yeah, and you really aren't sure exactly how they're going to look. A week ago, you thought maybe the Bears would be relatively healthy. They still were dealing with quite a few injuries across the board. Not really sure what the Ravens are going to look like in terms of who they could get back. I know there was some talk that maybe Danny Woodhead could get activated this week. We'll have to wait and see, but defensively, their stars are who they are, and they've been out there all season. So I think the Packers are going to have a good look at what they're going to expect on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. With that, we'll toss it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz all the way over there. Wes, getting back to talking a little bit more about the Packers and their offense, we saw a big fourth quarter on Sunday at Soldier Field from wide receiver Devontae Adams, and I think it's worth pointing out that those big catches he made down the stretch, three of them, if I recall correctly, an 18-yarder, the 19-yard touchdown, and then the 42-yarder over the top on 3rd and 10, that was a pretty big bounce-back moment, I think you might say, for Devontae Adams, because very early in the fourth quarter, he had a slant pass that would have potentially picked up a first down, kept a drive going for Green Bay that maybe could have led to a touchdown, but he wasn't able to haul it in over the middle. And that was a big drop. It wasn't a perfect pass, but it was a catchable pass. And to Devontae Adams' credit, he just shook it off and came back and was a big-time go-to guy for Brett Hundley down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't want to get in a conversation of like trying to come up with the most headstrong athletes we've ever covered or anything, because there's quite a few of them on that Packers offense in specific. But Devontae Adams, since day one, his confidence and just his ability to move on to the next play has always impressed me. We've talked about that going back to last year and how he bounced back from a down 2015 season when he dealt with the ankle, when he dealt with the knee. He just always is able to press the refresh button and move on to the next play. This is a big game for that because there's an easy opportunity when you look at what happened with the catch, non-catch in Detroit in the where he came up a little short on, you know, maybe if he leans out for it or gets the second hand out there.
Right.
You look at the slant pass that he missed. Those are things that could really compound in a player's mind.
Yeah.
And he washed it away and ended up making, you know, two of the biggest plays, I think, not only of that game, Mike, but of that season right now for the Green Bay Packers. They needed something good to happen. Davante Adams stepped right up when they needed it the most.
Yeah, let me throw this at you. Do you see potentially, because we know we're going to have Brett Hundley for a handful of more games here. We still don't know necessarily if or when Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Do you see something maybe a little special developing between number 7 and number 17 here?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you even have seen it the last couple weeks with how he's been looking to him. Davante Adams has that ability, I think, when you look at the number of ways they can use him, the back shoulder throw on the touchdown pass, the over-the-top one-handed grab on the 42-yarder, him coming across the middle. He runs the entire route tree. And I think that is exactly when you talk about developing a chemistry with a quarterback, that is the biggest tool to achieving that. And furthermore, I know Larry McCarron, our colleague, likes to throw out those Pro Football Focus stats. I think it was something like 155.3 Hundley was when he was throwing in the direction of Adams, which could have even been higher, obviously, if that pass gets brought in earlier. So it is. Those are the type of numbers you look for. And especially for Brett Hundley, considering he played mostly with these second and third string units during the preseason, to start developing that rapport with Adams and with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, utilizing all three of those weapons to their maximum potential was a big key to that victory, and I think is going to be a big key to establishing that offense going forward.
Yeah, well, let me throw another one at you here quick, Wes, while I got you on the
spot.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson right now both have 6 touchdown catches on the season. Who do you think will end up leading the Packers in 2017 in touchdown receptions when this season is all said and done?
Yeah, I'm still going to go with Nelson. To be honest with you, I think Nelson is the best red zone receiver in the NFL. I really do. Because, I mean, he has that hybrid sort of tendencies where you can use him like a tight end in some ways.
Yeah.
The Packers basically, if you look at their red zone game plan, Jordy Nelson is basically filling that role of what a tight end would as a Rob Gronkowski or, you know, other places in the NFL. So that ultimately is going to allow him, I think, to have more of those opportunities. But I'll say this, for a guy that only had one touchdown reception in 2015 with Adams, for him to come back last year, finish second in the NFL to Nelson with 12, I think when you're looking at big play potential, you can have 100-yard catches and 70-yard catches and make all these ESPN highlight reels. But it ultimately gets down to what you can do in the red zone if you can put points on the board, and Davante Adams accomplishes that. If both of those guys are high in those NFL totals again this season, this team's going to win some games.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. But before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Attention Packers fans, we're calling you to fill up with Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup. We're talking delicious, hearty soup packaged in an exclusive Packers Superfan can. These cans are limited edition for all you football fanatics out there, so don't miss out. Go on, huddle up, and fill up with this hearty soup. Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final segment here before we go. First off, a little bit of roster business to update people on. The Packers have re-signed long snapper Brett Goode. He's now healthy again from the hamstring injury that led to an injury settlement earlier in the season. But Brett Goode is back. Derek Hart has been released. So the Packers back to where they started 2017 in week one as far as the long snapper and the field goal and punt operation. But moving on from that, the voting for the Pro Bowl is underway online. You can vote for your favorite players, your favorite Packers on NFL.com and also on Twitter. And the Packers with three returning players who were in the Pro Bowl last year, left tackle David Bakhtiari, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who obviously is not playing this year, and then safety Clinton Dix. We know Bakhtiari was injured earlier in the year. Clinton Dix not necessarily putting up the flashy interception numbers and whatnot that he had a year ago. So if you're going on NFL.com to vote for any Packers, who do you think is maybe deserving of your first vote?
Well, first off, I just want to throw out there, Jeff Janis is going to get one of my votes just because of his ingenuity with his tweet.
He is.
Finding a way to not only mention to everybody you can vote on NFL.com and Twitter, but also mentioning where you can find him underneath the special teams category. And certainly when you look at the resume he's put together the couple of years, certainly deserving of that. To be perfectly honest with you, I think one, and I'm just trying to pick one more under the radar, I think Jarry Evans has played at a Pro Bowl caliber level.
Yep.
He's been there six times, I think not since 2014. But when you look at this offensive line and what he's gone through in terms of that rotation at that right tackle spot, I mean, he's lined up against next to Brian Bulaga. He's lined up next to, I believe, Kyle Murphy, Justin McCray. I think Elrick John was playing there in one game this season.
Yeah, in Minnesota, John had to step in at
in
right
Minnesota.
Tackle there. Yeah.
Every single snap, 34 years young, I believe, Jarry Evans has been out there and he's played at an exemplary level. You don't really appreciate, at least I didn't, going into this season, what he did in New Orleans.
Yeah.
169 games, I believe, now up to 170-something, most among all active NFL offensive linemen. How durable, how effective he is.
Yeah.
He's as good as they get, and I'm starting to gain a greater appreciation for his talent.
Yeah, and I would say since we've seen David Bakhtiari come back from his injury, I think he is back to his Pro Bowl level on the field. Now, whether that'll translate into enough votes and enough recognition to go back to the Pro Bowl, always hard to say when a guy misses the amount of time and the number of games that he did with an injury. But I'll throw another one out there on the defensive side, and I know statistics on defense can get tossed around and twisted any which way. But Blake Martinez is having one heck of a season for the Green Bay Packers, a guy who has made himself in his second year into an every-down defender. He's now also the communicator on defense with the helmet speaker, that whole thing. Now, it takes a while for guys to get the type of name recognition and respect around the league to ultimately make it to a Pro Bowl. You usually get there after you've already earned it, not necessarily the first year that perhaps you deserve it. But I'm curious to see just maybe how many votes end up coming Blake Martinez's way, because he has stood out quite a bit.
Yeah, he has, I believe, tied for six right now in the NFL when it comes to tackles. Tied for fifth when it comes to solo tackles. Been incredibly effective in that way this year. A guy that just hunts for the ball. I think he's going to end up putting the most tackles since they started recording the stat in the NFL, somewhere around the 140 mark right now. A lot of potential there with him for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. But we will call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.